Okay, here we go.
I'm Missy Yapadaka, as Yvonne mentioned, and I am a lobbyist, but I'm also a practicing healthcare attorney with Catton. And we, Yvonne mentioned Freddie's long accolades and what he's been doing with his life, and we're excited to be here to talk to you about state and federal healthcare issues, hot topics. It's what we're going to do. There's a lot of more detailed panels later in the day, and we are going to give you the high level and put things in context. It's important to know what's going on at the state level and the federal level. There's a lot of similarities. You may know that at the state level, Texas is sort of the first test case. If people feel like if they can get legislation passed in Texas, then they can get it done in other states and at the federal level. And you can see that. I'll talk a little bit more about that with the balanced billing and the No Surprises Act. So, you know, Texas is a hard state to get things done, but it's really the test case for the rest of the country. So we're going to talk about the issues in play relative to the healthcare sector and talk about the dynamics of the industry between the players in the industry and elected officials both at the state and federal level. There's a lot going on. And as I mentioned, there's going to be other more detailed panels that will have, you know, give you more detail regarding the issues. And we have written materials that have more details on what we're going to discuss. So this are the topic areas. We're going to talk, Freddie in a minute is going to start with the politics and give you all the juicy details of the primary election and then the general election that's going to come up in November. And then here are the hot topics we're going to discuss. We put them in buckets because the part of this is just to put everything in context because it's important to know how we got here and where we're going to go next. So we're going to talk about transparency and disclosure, healthcare costs, access to care, operations, some hot topics in operations, and talk about post-COVID and some regulatory changes post-COVID. I'm going to turn it over to Freddie to talk about some politics.
Thanks very much, Michelle. So it's difficult to talk about policy without thinking about the policymakers. And basically the way in which we are going to see the field of policymakers that those of you in the room and the systems you represent are going to be dealing with is to contemplate the election cycle. A lot of y'all have heard us speak before. Normally we would close with the political, but we felt like it might make more sense to lead with the political this year and basically set the field of play for the 2023 legislative session, also the 2023 Congress. Texas had the first in the country major primary kicking off the 2022 general election cycle, and we've got an upcoming runoff election May the 24th. But if you think about the impact of the election cycle, I think it's important to consider some data points. If you think about the fact that once again, we had a comparatively anemic voter turnout percentage, so 17.4% voter turnout percentage. While that is very low, it's actually the highest percentage among statewide turnout going back to the 1994 election cycle. I think what is significant, though, is if you look at the Republican turnout relative to the Democratic turnout, and on percentage basis, you ended up with having twice the percentage of Republican registered voters turning out in the first round in March than Democrats. And if you look across all 254 counties, and you compare 2022 turnout to 2018 turnout, you ended up with a circumstance where Republican turnout was up in 207 of the 254 counties. And in 31 of the counties, Republican turnout was double what it was in the 2018 cycle. Conversely, if you look at the Democratic turnout at the same time, you ended up with Democratic turnout declining in more than 50% of Texas counties. So taking all that into consideration, I think it's going to be a very big year for Republican candidates going forward in the general election, and I think that is going to establish the field of play in the Texas legislature. Let me touch on a couple of things. If you think about the population growth of the state of Texas, we continue to add about 1,000 people per day to the state's population. We're the fastest growing state in the country. We are the only state in the country that gained 2 congressional seats this year. For those of you all who live in the Houston area, we picked up Congressional District 38. And then for those in the Austin area, Congressional District 37, so kind of Austin, Central Texas area. But if you look at the makeup of the congressional delegation today, it's a 23-13 Republican majority congressional delegation. I think that the chances going forward, I think that Republicans are going to pick up Congressional District 38 here in the Houston area. I think the Democrats will pick up 37. So you're going to end up basically with a 23-36 right now. 23-13. We'll be 24-14 with Republican pretty well dominance of the congressional delegation in the next Congress. From a state Senate perspective and state House perspective, this is where it's going to have a lot of impact on the policy that's made in Texas going forward. You currently have an 18-13 Republican majority in the state Senate. Critically, though, in the last 3 or 4 legislative sessions, there's been a weakening of what was formerly the procedural rule, the two-thirds rule that required that you had to have 21 senators support, 21 of the 31 senators had to support a piece of legislation before it could be considered. Now that margin is 18.